Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. So, dvani, the term is defined as the product of suggestion, the meaning that is suggested. And that can be of various kinds, the rasa, the bhava, the rasa, bhava, and different components, the rising, the falling, the combination of bhavas. And also vastu and alankar, these all can be dvanis. The vastu can be suggested. The alankar can be suggested. So, let's say that rasa is the soul of poetry. All the rest of them are in the category of dvani as prana, as life air, secondary. So those dvanis which are pranas, not the rasa, but the other ones, are analyzed or divided into two kinds, those that are based on literal meaning and those that are based on figurative meaning, abhidhamula and lakshanamula. And the difference between the two is that in the antya, in the lakshanamula, the dvani that the suggested meaning that is based on the figurative meaning, that involves not intending to express the literal meaning. Whereas if it's abhidhamula, then the literal meaning is expressed. And in addition to it, there's a suggested meaning. And in that lakshanamula dvani, where the literal meaning is not meant to be expressed, actually two different things could happen. Art antaro upasankrantam adyantam vatiraskritam upasankranta. Let's say that means overcome. The literal meaning is eclipsed by some other meaning. That's one alternative. The other is that the literal meaning is rejected altogether. So the literal meaning may be eclipsed or it may be expelled. Tiraskritam. Kicked out. Completely kicked out. That means it's there, but it's like the sun, it's like the, you know, the stars in the sky when the sun is shining. You don't see them. We'll see examples of this. Actually, this is the same as what we talked about before, that lakshana can be ajahat swarta or jahat swarta. That means a figurative meaning that abandons the literal meaning, or that doesn't abandon the literal meaning. What are examples? If I say I give a stage direction, the umbrellas enter, or the spears enter. Well, it's not the sorcerer's apprentice that the spears are going to walk on stage on their own power. That means the soldiers are carrying spears. And not only that, not all the soldiers are carrying spears. Some of them may not be. So we really mean soldiers carrying spears. But the spears are there also. Spears are entering, but they're being carried by soldiers. They're not entering with their own two feet. So that's ajahat swarta, lakshana. I don't mean the spears walk on stage. But the spears are still there, but they're being carried by somebody. And this is somebody they're carrying that we're actually talking about. If I say the moon has entered the room, and I mean that some beautiful woman has entered, you know, with her beautiful face, and I say the moon has entered the room, well, no, the moon has not really literally entered. Some, you know, so-called beautiful lady has entered the room. So the literal meaning of moon is a jod. It's abandoned there. The moon doesn't fit in this room. If the moon entered the room, then we'd all be crushed to death. So that's Ajahat Swarta. And it's the same thing as these two distinctions of Lakshana. When you have a suggestion based on the figurative meaning, that can be Upasankranta, Ardantara Upasankranta, or Adyanta Tiraskritam, which is the same thing as saying that the Lakshana that it's based on is Ajahat Swarta or Jahat Swarta. Yeah. It's the Lakshana that's Jahat Swarta, but the Dwani that's based on that Lakshana is going to be Adyanta Tiraskritam. It's equivalent. And when you have a Lakshana that's Ajahat Swarta, like the spears walking onto the stage, that's really spears carried by soldiers. The soldiers walk, the spears don't walk, but they're carrying the spears. That's Ajahat Swarta, and the suggestion that makes, whatever suggestion it's supposed to make, would be Artantara Upaksankranta. That means on one level we're talking about the Lakshana itself, and on the second level we're talking about the nature of the meaning, the suggested meaning that comes on top of that Lakshana. The suggested meaning will be Artantara Upaksankranta. And the literal meaning will still be there, but it's eclipsed. Like, the literal meaning is irrelevant to the suggestion. Like, you know, the it's a play about the Kurus, you know, the heroism of the Kuru dynasty, or the Vrishni dynasty. And the stage direction says, you know, the spears enter, and 100,000, you know, soldiers carrying spears enter the stage. Or it's some movie, you know, some panorama movie with 100,000 soldiers in the scene. It creates amazement in the audience. Wow, you know, the Kurus have such a big army. They're a very powerful army. So that's the suggestion made by 100,000 soldiers showing up all at once, carrying spears. That's the suggested meaning. The literal meaning is there. The spears are there, but the spears, it's not the spears that create the amazement. You know, what are they going to do? These little toothpicks, what are they going to do with them? You know, it's not like carrying machine guns or mortars. It's just spears. And people in modern times aren't very terrified of spears. It's not the spears, not the literal meaning of spears that creates the suggestion. It's even relevant to the suggestion. It's the figurative presence of 100,000 soldiers who are carrying the spears that creates the suggestion meaning. You got something there? We're not recording this anyway. We don't record this class. We do? Okay. Speak into the mic. We're recording. Anything you say can be held against you.
It always is. Artha antar upak sankranta. What does it mean literally? How do we break it up to?
Let's say eclipsed by another meaning. Eclipsed. Upasankranta is literally overcome.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, I'm lying in bed and a million ants swarm on top of me, so I'm overcome by the ants. That's Upasankranta. They've swarmed over me, swarmed. So it's eclipsed by another meaning, Arta Antara.
So is a samasa, it's Antarupasankrantam, it's a Tritiya Tatpurush, is it?
Tritiya Tatpurusha.
Antarena Upasankrantam. Yeah. And Artha, if we put that...
Arta Antara is a inverted Karmadharya.
Uh-huh, it's inverted.
Because the main word is Arta.
Right.
Different meaning.
Purvanipata.
Yeah.
Okay.
The example of Jahat Svarta is the moon enters.
Yeah. The moon doesn't really enter. Forget the moon. It's not really a moon. It's just a poetic moon. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. Okay, examples. Well, what are you giving examples of? What have we talked about so far? We're talking about the Artantara Upasankranta. We're talking about the two different kinds of Abhidhammula Vyanjana, Abhidhammula Dvani, the one where the meaning is eclipsed by another meaning and when the literal meaning is lost altogether. So here's an example of one of the two. Palamapi palam ma kandanam sita apitak sita amitam amitam draksha draksha maduni madunyapi sahatulayatum tenaisham na kinchana yujyate subala yadayam sarangakshya bhavat yadaro dadaha. This is Krishna talking to Subala. He says, my dear Subala, a fruit is a fruit. The juice of the sita. I'm sorry, what is sita? I don't have my computer. Can you look up the word sita? What? Ooh. Cool. No. It was dentalis? This is a noun. It's a feminine noun. Something botanical.
White sugar, refined sugar.
Yeah, that's it. It's misri. Misri. Sugar candy. Misri is what it is. That's what Vishnu tells us. I just forgot that. No, it's feminine also. It's feminine. It means misri. It means, you know, refined sugar candy. Okay, let me start again. A fruit is just a fruit. The sugar derived from the mangoes is just sugar. The immortal nectar of the demigods is just immortal nectar. A grape is just a grape. Honey is just honey. None of these are adequate to compare with this, my dear Subala. These lips of the lotus-eyed Radharani, those are lips. Okay. What's going on here? Okay. We want to analyze this in terms of what's the dwani? What's poetical about it? Oh, you want to tell us? Okay. No, go ahead. Let's see what you say.
Well, all these are like nice things and like tasty things, like fruit. Fruit is just a fruit. Like, it's like minimizing them all.
Yeah, that's it.
It's minimizing them all to say that the real thing is the lips of Radharani.
Yes. Now, what you have here is, I forget what you call this, when something can't be compared, so you compare it to itself. What's the name of that? Is it upama, where something's compared to itself because nothing else can compare to it? The moon is the moon. Yeah. No, but it's a special kind of upama. Anyway, it's one special variety where something is incomparable, so you just compare it to itself. But this is a negative form. We say fruit is a fruit. Well, that's just a tautology. You know, so what? A fruit is a fruit. Yeah, of course it's a fruit. What do you think it is? But the idea is, when you say fruit the second time, when you say a fruit is a fruit, that is with the, that is suggesting the idea that it's nindya. It deserves to be condemned, or it's criticizable. You know, it's subject to criticism. Fruit's just a fruit. Now that is a figure, that is a suggested meaning. The word fruit doesn't mean something that's condemned. It's not in the dictionary as a contemptible thing that you eat. No, but it's suggested by saying it twice, a fruit's a fruit. You're suggesting that it's contemptible. Or that, you know, it's not really something you don't want to bother with. It's just a fruit, another fruit. So all these other words, all these words, fruit, sugar candy from the mangoes, nectar of the demigods, grapes, grape juice, and honey, they're all just whatever they are. And in each case, the second, the repetition of the word, that meaning, the word fruit means fruit. But there is a meaning put on top of it, a suggested meaning. So the literal meaning is there, but it's eclipsed by the suggested meaning. What's significant here is saying it's just a fruit. So that contemptibility idea is eclipsing the idea that it's a fruit. Otherwise, you say it's a fruit. Oh, great, I want some fruit. I'm thirsty, I'll take some fruit. But just the literal idea of being a fruit has been eclipsed by the idea that it's unfit, it's unworthy. That is an example of Ardantara Upasankranta. Okay, not only that, there is a lakshana here. This is lakshana mula. The kind of fruit that you're condemning, why are you condemning it? Because it's sweet some of the time. If it's not ripe, or you picked it off the wrong tree in India, you know, every single fruit tastes different. Each apple tastes different. There's never, you know, not one apple doesn't taste the same as the other. It's not like the plastic apples they have in America that they all taste the same. They all taste like plastic. They're all exactly the same shape, exactly the same color, and they have no taste. Or it's just, you know, some artificial taste. But in India, they're real, but one is good and one is bad, one's sweet, one's sour, each one's different. So a fruit is just contingently sweet. Sometimes it's sweet and sometimes you get a bad one. So that's the lakshana. When you say fruit the second time, you mean it's a fruit as something that's just sweet some of the time. That's the lakshana, the figurative meaning. A fruit is a fruit. It's just, in other words, a fruit is something that's only sweet some of the time. And what's suggested by that figurative meaning is that it's contemptible. It's not something to be glorified. Fruit, the word fruit certainly can have a figurative meaning. Like, what's the fruit of your endeavor? Well, I'm working to make money. I'm not working to get a bunch of bananas. I'm not a monkey. You know, I expect to get a paycheck, not a bunch of bananas. So you can call it the fruit of my endeavor, but it's a figurative fruit. I won't be satisfied being paid in fruits. So there, the original meaning has been replaced by a figurative meaning. And here, similarly, the original meaning of fruit has been replaced in the second fruit word, phalam, by the idea of being something that is just sometimes sweet and sometimes not. And therefore, it suggested, it's not worthy getting our praise. It's not worthy comparing a fruit to Radharani, or the nectar, the juice of the mangoes, or the honey, the sugar that comes from the mangoes, or the nectar of the demigods. That's not good enough to compare to Radharani's lips. Or grapes, or honey. None of these are fit to be compared to Radharani's lips. That's what's suggested. What's wrong with these other things? The fruits are only sometimes sweet. Some fruits are not so sweet. Some are sour. The sugar made out of the mangoes may be sweet, but there's so much trouble involved in processing it. You know, you have to take a lot of trouble to refine that sugar. It's not like you can just bite into a mango and get the sugar. No, you have to spend hours and days making that sugar. The Amrita, let me see about what's wrong with the Amrita. Even the demigods drink Amrita. Who are they? And same thing with grapes. Grapes are, like the other fruits, grapes are sometimes sweet, because grapes are compared to the lips, because the lips are bright colored. The grapes are sometimes sweet, and sometimes they're sour, sometimes they're unripe. And honey is, the vomit of bees. That's what he says here. But the lips, those are lips. And there's a suggestion made here by Slesha, or this is Alankar, a Shabda Alankar. I'm sorry, it's Arta Alankar. Slesha, where there's a double entendre. The word utara, the utteras are utteras, but utara can also mean that which makes other things go down. In other words, it diminishes everything else. These lips diminish everything else is a suggested meaning suggested by the Alankar, the figure of speech of double entendre. In this case, the second word, adara, doesn't express that it's contemptible, just the opposite. It expresses that this is the real thing, this is the glorifiable thing, this is better than all the others. Just the opposite suggestion. Well, it's not a verb. It's a pronoun actually. A Krishna nama, adara. It's one of the on the list of Krishna namas. But you can make a verb out of it. Adarayati. It makes other things go down. You add a nichan to it, and it becomes a nominal verb, a verb created from a noun. Adarayati. Makes other things go down. Like at Hoksaja. The Lord, in comparison to whom everything known empirically is inferior. Adho Aksaja. The Aksaja is pushed down by Adhoksaja. Adara? So it's a Shabda Shlesha? No. See, Shlesha is in both categories. Shlesha is both sometimes a Shabda Alankar and sometimes Arta Alankar. I guess if you cannot replace another word, you can't. You can't use, if you can use a synonym, then it's Arta Shlesha, but this is Shabda Shlesha because you have to use the same word. We'll learn about that in chapter 8. Which? That's not an Alankar, there's their lakshana is there, that Amrita is devayarpitam. Devayarpitam. It's drunk even by the demigods who are ordinary people. Amitam devairapi piyate. That is the lakshana. Tasmat vyajyate yat tadamitam nindyam asti. So the fact that the demigods drink the amrita, that is the lakshana arta. And the dvani, the suggestion is that it's contemptible. Nindyam. Ananya, ananya upamana? Ananvaya, yeah, there's no connection. There's nothing to compare it to, so you compare it to itself. Yes. So these are all examples. But on all the other examples except for the last one, what's suggested by it is that it's contemptible. When you say adara, adara, that's also ananvaya upama. It's a comparison with itself because there's nothing else to compare it with. The lips are lips. What can I say about the lips? The lips are lips. But that is suggesting that the lips are super excellent. The other ananvaya upamas, comparing the grapes with the grapes and the honey with the honey, is suggesting the contemptibility of them. It makes sense when I speak it with the intonation. You don't see that on the page. You have to figure it out. The reader has to be a little sharp to catch what's actually going on. Yes? Someone could read this and say, fruit, fruit, grapes are grapes, honey's honey, and lips are lips. And it just doesn't get the idea.
But at the same time, if you can compare like honey with honey, or grapes to grapes, or sugar with sugar, we might intend to say that it's something great, like it's incomparable in comparison with.
Normally, you would. Normally, yeah. When you use ananvaya upama, that something can't be compared to anything else. It's usually with the idea that it's better than everything else. Yeah. But here, it's being inverted. In the context. That we're really, you know, what Krishna's talking about is not about, you know, the price of grapes, you know, about the grapes are in season. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about Radharani's lips. So in that context, all these other things are being suggested to be inferior.
Yeah, but can it mean that this is great, but that one is even much greater.
You might, but okay. But I'm just following. I'm following Kavi Karnapur's saying that they're contemptible. You know, what's great about the vomit of bees? Yeah, it tastes good. Okay, that's what he says. Sarago ochishta. No, it's just as the remnants. Yeah. Maggots and cockroaches. Well, they eat other insects. No, it said, I read that in the commentary. That honey is made out of decomposed parts of other insects. Okay. No, there's a transformation. The bee has got mystic power to transform what he ate. Vyatireka Alankara. Okay, this is way ahead of us, but Vyatireka. It means you mean to say the opposite of what you're saying. You really mean the opposite. No? No, that's different. Yeah, you pretend to be glorifying something, but you're really condemning it. Yes. Because that's Alankar suggesting another Alankar. Because literally, it's Ananvaya Upama, which by definition is a glorification. Something is glorified because nothing can be compared to it. But you're suggesting the Vyatireka Lankar. That is the opposite of that. It's contrary. You're praising someone, but you're really condemning them. You know, someone comes to class a half hour late, and you say, thank you for coming on time. Yeah. Yeah, sarcastic. So that, but that's not expressed. That's suggested. That is a vyanjana mula vyanjana. It's a vyanjana suggesting another vyanjana. Or an alankar. I'm sorry. It's an alankar suggesting another alankar. That's complicated. This is what we're supposed to be discussing when we get to chapter 8. Yes.
So this is an example of sankantam.
All of these, even though we have two different kinds, the ones that are praising, the one that praises, and all the others that condemn. But in every case of all these comparisons, there is a suggestion that in which the meaning is eclipsed, because the grapes are there, and you know, we're talking about grapes, we're talking about honey, we're talking about lips. But there's something suggested on top of that that eclipses the original, the literal meaning. It's not that the lips are not lips. The lips are lips, but there's something special about those lips. And grapes are grapes. I'm not saying they're not grapes. I'm not talking about something other than grapes that are, you know, look like grapes. No, they're grapes, but there's something about the grapes. You know, they're sour most of the time. Yes?
And they're eclipsed by Jahata Svarta?
That's Ajahatsvarta.
Ajahatsvarta. They're eclipsed by Ajahatsvarta?
See, no. See, yeah. Ajahatsvarta is the characteristic of the lakshana, and the eclipsing of the meaning by another meaning is the quality of the vyanjana that's built on top of the lakshana. Ajahatsvarta, Jahatswarta and Ajahatswarta were defined as two divisions of lakshana. Whereas Artantara Upasankranta and Atyanta Tiraskritam are two categories of dwani. But here we have a dwani that's based on, we have several dwanis based on lakshanas. Lakshana Mula Dwani is what we have here, repeatedly.
But it has to be, is it that it has to be eclipsed only by Ajahatsvarta, or it can be eclipsed by Jahatsvarta?
No, if it's Jahatsvarta, then the original meaning has been lost, and therefore it's Ajyanta Tiraskritam. If in the figurative meaning you lose the literal meaning, it's not available anymore, so any suggestion you built on top of that is also not going to have the original meaning.
Eclipsed by that lakshana.
Eclipsed, but eclipsed means it's yeah. You know, you don't see it, but it's there.
Vyanjana occurs because of the lakshana.
Yeah.
By the lakshana.
Yeah. Well, they say it's based on lakshana mula. It's based on the lakshana. It's not that the energy of lakshana vritti, the power of making a figurative meaning only goes so far. The suggestion has to be created by its own power. You understand?
Yes.
If you're watching television, there's an audio signal and a video signal. Okay? There's two different things being transmitted, the sound and the picture. They're being transmitted by different waves. Okay? There's FM sound. And then there's a video signal also. They're two totally different signals, two different wavelengths. Like that, lakshana and vyanjana each have their own wavelengths, their own energies. The power of lakshana can't go any further than just making the suggestion. I'm making the figurative meaning. It can't also push forward and also create the suggestion. If that was true, then we don't have to talk about such a separate category as suggestion. But there's a separate energy that has to come into action to create the suggestion. Otherwise, you don't have a television. You only have a radio. There's a sound but no picture. It's a radio. So like that, if there's the energy, the FM radio waves can create the sound in the receiver, But to get a picture, you need a different kind of wave. You need a different wavelength. So the Vyanjana energy, the Vyanjana Shakti, has to act. The Lakshana Shakti can't create the Vyanjana. So they're two separate energies.
But is it that it must be there?
What? Well,
the Lakshana.
Suggestion has to be superimposed on another meaning. But it can be any kind of meaning. It can be a literal meaning, or a figurative meaning, or another suggestion. A suggestion can be imposed on another suggestion. But it has to be based on some meaning. You know, a suggestion is derived when you have a meaning underneath, and a suggestion can be put on top of it. But it can be any kind of meaning. We got three kinds of meanings. Literal meaning, figurative meaning, and suggested meaning.
Yes.
Now you can create a suggested meaning on top of any one of those three.
Yes, but when it comes to the ones that is eclipsed.
That is talking about... No, that's... Yeah, that's talking about... Well, he said, this is for the Abhidhamma Mula and the Lakshana Mula. That's what he said specifically here. For those two of the three varieties, the ones based on literal meaning and the ones based on figurative meaning, those two divide into, right? No.
Lakshana Mula is divided into...
Yeah, the Lakshana Mula only is divided into those two. Right.
Yeah. And one has the Lakshana Mula...
Later he talks about Abhidhamma Mula. Yeah, later we'll see what he says about the Abhidhamma Mula later. And then there's also the Dhwani Mula Dhwani, a suggestion built on top of another suggestion. We'll talk about that a little later too. And we'll see how he subdivides each of those. Yes? If this is getting complicated, it gets worse. We're just starting. We've divided it into about four, six categories so far. By the end of the chapter, you'll have 100,000 categories. Yes.
Isn't that even though, as you say, he's talking about Lakshana Mula meanings, but in the example he gave for the Palama Pipalam is based, it's Abhidhamma Mula, actually.
No, it isn't, because Sridhar, rather Vishwanath in the commentary is explaining that there is a Lakshana there.
Well, Lakshana may be there, but what he's talking about is just that straightforward meaning of the words. We're not talking about palas as palas of activity.
No, we're really. Vishwanath is showing a sequence here. That, like here, first of all, you take the word fruit. The second utterance of the word fruit is figuratively meaning something that's just sweet some of the time. Given that, you can get the suggested idea that it's contemptible. Otherwise, why is it contemptible? It's contemptible because it's only sweet some of the time. That's the suggested meaning. So here, the suggested meaning is dependent on the figurative meaning in this case. You can't jump over. You can't skip the figurative meaning and just derive it directly from the literal meaning. Why is a fruit contemptible? What's wrong with a fruit? But if you get the intermediate idea that a fruit is only sweet some of the time, that's the figurative meaning, Lakshana, according to Vishwanath. I'm just reading what he says. It's Ajahaswarta because it's still a fruit.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, like my fruit of my endeavor, which is really a paycheck. It's not a fruit. I won't accept bananas as my paycheck. But here we're talking about real fruits, so the literal meaning is still there.
If I could finish.
Yes.
Not to disagree with Vishwanath Chakravartakur in any way, but looks like even though we take literal meanings of these words, palam, palam, still there could be a lot of vyanjana implied, even without trying to explain away
maybe,
one of them.
Maybe
is,
you'd have to give a whole different interpretation.
But I mean, it's possible to have it as an Abhidhamriti, Abhidhamula.
Well, okay, you know, these are very subtle things. Sometimes it's hard to see why it has to be. It's so many subtle distinctions made. We're only starting to see them. All these different categories of slightly different things. Why does it have to be this one? Why not the other one? And then the commentator or the author or the poet decides it's this one. We pretty much have to just go with their, you know, their rasikas, and they have a feel for it. And it's so subtle. We can't. Yeah, you know, we wonder why that and why not the other one also, because it's almost the same thing. So in these cases, we just have to take the expert opinion. and try to learn to also be rasikas. You know, he tells us, you know, this Limburger cheese is really tasty, and I'm thinking this stuff stinks. You know, but you just have to, you know, if you want to become a connoisseur of cheese, you got to go along with it, and accept the expert opinion, and you'll get a taste for Limburger cheese too. Yes.
Is it proper to understand that it's Lakshana Mula strongly because of this, that a fruit is just a fruit, and that contempt is coming, that contempt is a Lakshana. That contempt is coming out of Lakshana, isn't it?
Okay, but Vishnath's saying that the idea, it's a vastu, the idea that it's sweet only some of the time, yeah. That's the Lakshana, according to Vishnath. Yeah. And then the Vyanjana that's added to that is that it's contemptible. So there's two steps, according to Vishnu, involved.
Yeah. So that it's some other time, that is the Lakshana level, on which the Vyanjana that it is contemptible is built on.
Yeah. It's like this dish fruit. Fruit is supposed to be sweet, you know, by definition.
Yes.
But in the real world, all the fruits aren't sweet because they're not all ripe, or some of them are overripe. So the ones that are underripe and overripe aren't sweet, even though it's supposed to be sweet by definition.
Yes.
You know, an orange is sweet, a grape is a sweet fruit.
Yeah.
But an unripe grape or an overripe grape isn't sweet.
Yeah.
So we have a figured, a secondary meaning. Not just a regular, not an ideal grape or, you know, a proper grape, but an improper grape. Like a kshatriya is a great hero. A kshatriya is powerful, but you could have a kshatriya, you know, who's been sick for 10 years and you know lost all his power, and then he's a weak kshatriya.
Yeah.
It sort of contradicts the definition of a kshatriya, but he's a funny kind of kshatriya, you know, who has no strength left. So like that, what we're doing is talking about a figurative, an extended idea of grape, not regular grape, but an abnormal grape, a sour grape. So that's the Lakshana. Lakshana Vritti is that the word grape refers to sour grape.
That's
Lakshana Vritti.
Does this understanding also make the Lakshana platform strong? That because
strong?
Yeah, that this Vyanjana is based on Lakshana, strong. That the understanding that lips are not actually sweet like the fruit, and all this sweetness is compared to the sweetness of Radharani's lips that Krishna is tasting, but the lips are not sweet, and is that, and all this comparison of that fruit becomes a fruit and all this becomes just that based on the sweetness of the lips, and that sweetness itself is a Lakshana. It's a Lakshanik artha that the lips are sweet.
It is, but again, the way the Vishnath is reading
and
it,
then we could even take
he's letting each of these metaphors operate independently. They're not dependent on the last metaphor. A fruit is just a fruit. Even if you stopped at that, you could derive the Lakshana and the Vritti from that, even if you never got to talking about lips.
Yeah, but that statement, when a person says that fruit is just a fruit, then it's like it implies that he is thinking of something which is much better than this.
Yeah.
That's why he is saying.
Yes.
So,
yes, there's an implied comparison there, yeah.
So that Lakshanikata of the... Then if we take the sweetness of Radharani's lips that Krishna is tasting be the basis, then the fruit could be always a good fruit also, and Krishna could be saying that fruit, however good it is, it's just a fruit.
Yes. Okay, but that's another interpretation.
Okay.
Here we're talking, you know, Vishwanath is talking about... Actually, Jiva Goswami is talking about Nindyam. Not Jiva Goswami, Kavi Karnapur, the author, in his own Karika here, he's choosing the interpretation that these fruits and this nectar and the honey are all contemptible. You're giving an alternative explanation, which could also be valid. Yes. That's it. We're not going to get past this verse. But that's okay.
Sad.
Yes.
Okay.
This verse is a verse. This is the only verse we're going to do today.
साधारणतः शब्दस्य तिस्रः शक्तयः भवन्ति अभिधा लक्षणा व्यञ्जना परन्तु अत्र लक्षणायाः वर्णना आदौ कथं क्रियते इति शङ्कायां लक्षणायाः विषयः अत्र संक्षिप्त वर्तते संक्षिप्त
संक्षिप्त
या विषयः विस्तृतं न वर्तते परन्तु विवक्षिताभिधेयवाच्यमूलध्वनेः विषयः विस्तृतः भवति अत एव
विषय इस् विस्तृत
विषय मीन्स् सोरि अविवक्षितवाच्यध्वनि द्विधा विभज्यते अर्थान्तरसङ्क्रमित अत्यन्ततिरस्कृत
परन्तु that is lakshanamula
yeah परन्तु विवक्षितान्य पर अभिधा मूलध्वनि yes. बहु विस्तृतं वर्तते तत्र बहु भेदाः वर्तन्ते
oh I see okay yes can I translate that yeah. We're talking now just about lakshanamula vyanjana dhvani because this is much simpler where this is the what do you call it? The suchi kataha nyaya someone tells the blacksmith, okay, make me a pot and make me a needle. So he makes the needle first because it just takes a few minutes. The pot can take a whole day. So you do the easy job first and then go to the big job. So this is the easy job to describe lakshanamula vyanjana because there's only a few categories of it. But abhidhamula is much more complicated. That comes next. So this is the prakarana here is we're dealing with lakshana mula vyanjana. That's the topic of discussion here.
I was trying to understand the question was now it's Ajahasvarta is lakshana mula
can be Ajahasvarta. Well, the lakshana can be Ajahasvarta or Jahasvarta. Here with this example of this verse. All the lakshanas here are ajahatswarta.
Because that's the only way it can be eclipsed. If it's jahatswarta, it's completely covered.
Yes, right.
Okay. Okay.
And I think the next example will show us that where it's
adjanta-tiryaskritam.
Tomorrow we'll see that. No, we won't. We'll see it on Sunday. No, we won't. Sunday we have a class? Okay. Okay. Okay.
Sunday. Tuesday? Yeah. Sunday.
Tuesday, Thursday?
Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday.
Okay. See, the vyanjana can also be expressed by the kaku, by the special intonation. But that was mentioned at the end of the chapter. Okay. Thank you, all glory to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.